Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Gilded Path 2, A Cultivation Portal Fantasy by S. A. Archer. Narrated by Todd Meneses. Chapter 1.
Boltwar! Boltwar! Boltwar!
Beaujeu's voice boomed throughout what was left of the marketplace in search of me. The not-so-gentle giant was so worried for my safety that it was, actually, kind of touching. Not to mention entertaining. After all, I was standing no more than 5 feet behind him.
Little brother, where are you?
Beaujeu! I shouted so he could hear me over his own voice. The large man spun around to face me. Beaujeu was practically a walking steroid advertisement. Tall and wide, with tattooed dragon scales along his arms and back. It wasn't uncommon for the man to walk around in just his formal robes, sans shirt, but since we were in the marketplace, he was actually wearing a loose cotton tunic over his wide leg trousers. A bit dressed down for his station, but he didn't want to ruin his robes in a fight. From his head sprouted a massive mane of hair, the top of which was pulled into a topknot, now loose and falling over from combat. When his dark eyes finally landed on me, he looked so relieved that for a second, I thought he was going to pull me into a hug. Oh, how wrong I could be.
Where the hell were you?
He cried, punching me hard in the shoulder. It didn't hurt as bad as it used to when he hit me before I had cultivated any internal power to protect myself.
We were worried something happened to you. Did you even see that Mu'ah bastard go up in smoke? You left your wife alone with a maniac. You're lucky I was there and that I managed to defeat him, or you would be in big trouble.
I couldn't help but let out a small chuckle. Of course I was going to tell him the truth, but asking him to describe his perspective of a battle that I had fought the brunt of was too tempting.
What happened, Beaujeu?
But, Peter...
Monomo blinked behind me. The nine-tailed, golden-haired kitsune girl was usually the last one to pick up on things like irony and sarcasm.
You were there.
I can't believe I missed such an interesting battle, I cut her off, turning back to wink at her.
Tell me all about it, Beaujeu.
My dragon-tattooed brother-in-law couldn't resist the urge to exaggerate an already dramatic story. He sank down into his hips as if he was preparing to fight all over again, taking a deep breath to prepare for his tale.
So, we walked out of the tent into a flood of enraged soldiers with blades sticking out of their bodies.
Oh, hold that thought, I frowned, holding up a hand to cut him off. Behind Beaujeu, I could see that people had begun returning to the marketplace. I could already imagine the gossip spreading through the patrons and vendors alike, that the marketplace was too dangerous and they needed to return to the old methods, blaming the Bo family for creating this in the first place.
We have to soothe people now before they get any bad ideas. Beaujeu, tell everyone you can find that the marketplace is safe and the Mu'ah clan cannot bother us again.
Then tell anyone with any damage to come to see me in my tent, and we'll get started on renovation plans right away. He deflated a bit at not being able to tell his grand story, but nodded.
All right, little brother.
He turned and headed for the crowd. Behind me, Monomo perked up.
Oh, should we go tell people too?
You?
No, I said with an amused smile on my face as I addressed the group behind me. You're all coming back to the tent with me.
Why?
She blinked, her ears twitching while her tails drifted side to side behind her. Daitan, an Oni girl with ashy red skin, a large mass of dark hair and two angled black horns growing out of her head, rolled her eyes and patted Monomo on the shoulder.
Because, even though we just saved their asses from total destruction, they still hate us. Come on.
Oh, yeah,
Monomo pouted, her ears and shoulders both slumping as she turned to head back to the tent that we had been occupying. Daitan wasn't wrong. These people were quite literally the only ones in the world that I trusted, but to every other human in the country of Ryoshu, they were slaves. My party now consisted of Dai Tan, Monomo, my wife Meiyue, a half-Tengu woman, a bull Oni, a creature called a Konamong, something referred to as a swamp leopard, and a giant chicken. Sorry, I mean a war rooster. In Ryoshu, non-humans of any kind were slaves. Technically, this group, minus my wife, of course, consisted of slaves that someone else owned but put me in charge of. But I didn't see them like that. I saw myself as more of a democratic leader than a dictator. I would never force them to do anything, and I tried my best to provide for them the best I could, given that they legally belonged to someone else and I was an ex-servant who wasn't allowed to touch money. Well, I wasn't allowed to keep money, but I didn't need to keep it to get what I needed.
Looks like the tent was spared,
Dai Tan noted as we got to the mid-sized tent at the back of the marketplace where my desk was set up. It would have been spacious were I the only one working there, but it was the safest place for my companions to keep from getting recaptured and resold as slaves, so we all piled in with just enough room to breathe. Thank goodness! I sighed with relief when I saw the 10 bags full of gold that I'd been in the middle of counting for the Bo family when the Muwa clan attacked. If any of this went missing, Bo Dojing would quite literally kill me. Everyone settled in, and I returned to my work of counting and verifying the money. The marketplace was settled at the neck of the Guodan Peninsula. The Bo family owned the land, so I saw it as a place of opportunity. They provided a market where families could directly sell their goods and eliminate the middlemen who were scamming all the families anyway. For providing such a great service, the Bo family got a small cut of all the money the merchants made. If the 10 bags of gold didn't make it obvious, the market was going very, very well. The Muwa family had been feuding with the Bo family for generations. It was a nasty and aggressive stalemate that they had been locked in with no victor in sight. That was until I came along.
Pita,
Meiyue asked when I finished counting one bag, placing her hand on my shoulder. Her hands had long black talons, just like her feet. That was the most inhuman feature she had, really, besides her giant black feathery wings, of course. But her skin was glassy and flawless, with the most perfect ruby lips and stark yellow eyes.
How did you manage to cripple the Muwa family so severely?
That? I looked up at her and shrugged. A bit of a cocky, self-satisfied smirk on my face. It took a lot of reading into a lot of documents that I wasn't supposed to have access to. They isolate themselves from anyone anyway. So when I wrote to the rest of the families in the Guodan Peninsula, they were all happy to find a way to unseat them. From there, it was easy. If they hadn't attacked the marketplace today, their supplies of product would have slowly gotten smaller and smaller. I've got every family to agree not to purchase any of their goods. They were going to be iced out one way or another.
How did you figure out that thing about the drugs?
Monomo asked, leaning her head against my desk, her ears perking up for the question.
And about their soldiers?
That required some favors, I mused, and some very delicately acquired gossip. They were buying so much of that drug, Final Fight. There have been large-scale kidnappings all over the peninsula, but most of them were near the Muwa stronghold in the mountains. I pieced it together from there. With a few alterations to the drug made by the family that supplied them, it lost all effectiveness. I knew they would try to attack the marketplace with a bunch of their kidnapped, drug-controlled soldiers, and when they did, the soldiers would be worthless. The only thing I didn't take into account was that bullshit with Muwa Sidi. Muwa Sidi had been one of the 5 remaining Muwa elders. Emphasis on the word was. When he realized that his soldiers were worthless, he took a shit ton of weird potions and became a nearly invincible death machine. There were a handful of stalls that were disturbed by the soldiers, not many, but there were between 10 and 15 stalls that had serious damage from the ensuing fight. After I returned to counting, it wasn't long before merchants and vendors started coming in to tell me what had been damaged. When Boju returned, I had him compensate the affected parties for any lost merchandise. I would have done it myself, but I wasn't going to give Bo Doxing a chance to even imply that I had stolen money. In total, 9 stalls had major damage, while 5 had varying degrees of minor damage. Luckily, the marketplace was so new that we were still in the construction phase anyway. Within 2 hours, everything was smoothed over, trust in the market was restored, and the reputation of the Mua family was non-existent. Everything was perfect.
That was the last guy who had a problem with his stall.
Boju nodded when one of the Dangong family vendors left our crowded tent.
Now, you have some explaining to do. Where the hell were you during that fight? And you still have some other shit to explain to, you know.
Right, I sighed, rubbing my face. I was almost positive everything would be fine when I told him the truth. But it was still not going to be fun when he learned the degree to which I'd been lying and sneaking around for months. Meiwei said I was trying to contact the mansion when the fight started, but...
Peter?
Dai Tan interrupted me. 1 second. I held up my hand. I know that's what she said, but the truth...
Peter!
Dai Tan said again, grabbing my shoulder.
What?
I looked over to see a look on her face that could only be described as, oh shit.
Mua CD said when the fight started that they had hundreds more of their little minions invading the mansion, right?
She said.
Yeah, so what?
Boju frowned, growing more irritated the longer he had to wait for me to answer his question.
I know the little grunt guys were worthless, but if they sent that many to the mansion, they probably sent another Mua elder to lead them, right?
Suddenly, her expression made sense.
Oh, shit, I muttered.
Boju.
Meiyue frowned, standing and wiggling her way through the crowded tent next to him.
You know our family best, and you saw how difficult it was to defeat Mua CD. Do you think they're okay?
Now, Boju shared the same expression that Dai Tan and I did.
I honestly don't know. I want to say yes, but...
We shouldn't take any chances,
Meiyue finished his sentence.
Peter, we need to return to the mansion and make sure they're okay.
Of course, I nodded. I went to find a Bo family member to collect the money from my tent and store it safely until it could be counted, and in 10 minutes, we were on our way back to the Bo mansion. The problem was, it was about a 2-hour carriage ride from the marketplace to the mansion, and it had already been close to 3 hours since we had defeated Mua CD. The air in the carriage was very tense, mostly because of Meiyue and Boju. None of us could blame them. It was their family, after all. No one in the carriage wanted to say anything in case we were on our way to a massacre, but the last thing anyone wanted to do was acknowledge the worst possibility.
Peter?
Monomo smiled about 15 minutes into the ride. She looked absolutely precious the way she sat on a cushion made of her fluffy tails, and she was probably the only one of us experiencing any comfort in the bumpy hardwood cabin.
You can tell Boju now, can't you?
Tell me what?
My brother-in-law blinked, tearing his mind out of his thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tell me everything now. You agreed, no more secrets.
I was suddenly very grateful that Meiyue was sitting in between us during this ride. It would be good to tell him this with her face in front of us. I took a deep breath and felt her hand on my knee, trying to provide some small modicum of support.
It's going to make more sense if I start from the beginning. Do you remember the grand auction?
So I told Boju everything.
Well, okay, not everything. I didn't mention the part about being an accountant from Earth who lived a totally normal modern life
up until the point that some alien-looking guy broke into my apartment and shot me in the face, at which point I woke up sweeping the Bow Mansion. But I hadn't actually told anyone that, except Daitan. It was just harder to explain, since I didn't have any answers as to why. But I told him about the auction. When Bo Duxing gave me about 30 gold pieces and dared me to come back with 3,000 or die, the first purchase I made was Daitan. At the time, it was an objectively bad business decision that turned out to be the greatest mistake I'd ever made. Being a member of the Gold Clan in Ryushu was where this story became even more complicated. Everyone in Ryushu had something they called internal power. You could use this power to do incredible things, like magic, healing, and even changing your body shape. But this power wasn't invisible. Others who knew how to use that power could sense it in others. And from the moment I met Bo Doxing, he made it clear that my survival hinged on not cultivating any of that internal power through the money he gave me access to. So Daitan, in all her internal power wisdom, offered to teach me how to suppress my power so that no one would sense it. When she agreed to do that, I began cultivating. And I had been cultivating ever since, the only way that members of the Gold Clan were able to cultivate. Through money.
No fucking way,
Boju said, a blank expression that I couldn't read on his face.
There's no fucking... this whole time?
Yeah, I nodded, rubbing the back of my neck. Daitan taught me well. Your great-grandfather doesn't suspect a thing. And I'm telling you this because I trust you not to tell him.
Wait,
he frowned suddenly.
So, if you have such massive internal power, and if you've been accidentally discovering advanced techniques like you say you have, then why the hell did we fight Muwa Sidi without you?
The whole cabin shifted at that point. All three of the girls started trying and failing to suppress laughter. I even smiled a bit myself. About that. I closed my eyes and used my internal power to strengthen and elongate my jaw to give my face a completely different shape. Though I left my body the same way it normally was, instead of enhancing it to display freakishly large muscles similar to Bo Ju's, like I had during the fight. And when I spoke, my voice was pitched down again.
Hey, cousin. Holy shit!
Bo Ju practically shouted into Meiyue's ear.
How the hell do... You can't do that! That's not something you can do with internal power. I've never seen it before.
Apparently you can, I laughed as my face returned to normal. Yo-Yo taught me.
Yo-Yo?
He frowned before his face fell suddenly in disbelief.
Yo-Yo? The swamp leopard?
I nodded slowly. I promise, I was just as surprised as you are.
But he can't...
Remember what Monomo can do? I asked. Monomo perked up at being mentioned and waved.
I can sense people's intentions and moods.
So?
Boju looked practically dizzy at this wealth of information. So she taught me that too, I explained. And because of that, I can understand Yo-Yo and Ping.
Ping?
He stared at me as if I had begun speaking yokai.
Ping, the war rooster. You can understand him.
Yes, I groaned, rubbing the bridge of my nose. And the worst part is, he's kind of smart. The war rooster was the least complex of the creatures in my little merchant party. He was quite literally just a large rooster, and he made the exact same sounds as a normal rooster. But as much as I hated to admit it, he was actually useful.
What else can you do?
Bo Ju pressed. I tried to read his expression to get a feel for how much he was on my side, but he just looked confused, so it was hard to tell. I mean, besides the normal internal power stuff? Suppressing my power, enhanced senses?
Stop!
He held up a hand, shaking his head.
You're fucking lying.
No, he's not.
Meiyue said with a sweet smile, patting her brother's arm.
I taught him. It took him weeks to learn.
Weeks? Weeks? It takes people years to learn to enhance their senses. You started cultivating like 6 months ago.
I know, I smiled sheepishly, trying not to be obvious about how cool I felt. I am a fast learner.
It's as weird as it sounds.
Daitan nodded as she laid back with her head on Monomo's lap.
He can suppress his power and attack with it at the same time. He figured that out on day two? Two!
Boju rubbed his face. I almost felt bad for dumping all of this on him, but he was the one that asked.
Can you do anything else?
Yeah, I nodded. I can shift my bones and my body like I did back at the marketplace. I learned some efficient cultivation techniques from Nguyen. I can heal myself, too, as I'm fighting. I learned that one from Hiroto.
Fuck!
Boju hissed. He turned around and opened the door to the carriage as it was moving and stuck his head out, looking toward the back of the carriage. Ping, Yo-Yo, Nguyen, and Hiroto all rode on the back whenever we traveled.
Hiroto! I demand that you teach me how to heal during battle.
I heard a loud, deep laugh from the bull Oni before he called up to me.
So you told him, eh?
He's taking it pretty well, I called back.
Man, I hoped I was right.
Boju sat back down, shaking his head in disbelief.
This should be impossible.
I gave him a sympathetic look. I certainly understood how it felt to learn that the world didn't follow the rules you thought it did. Like, you know, how I thought the world was logical and didn't have money-based kung fu magic.
As I said earlier, I sighed, I wanted you to know the truth, because I want you to trust me. You mean a lot to Meiyue.
At my words, she took Boju's hand in hers and smiled.
It feels so good not to have secrets from you again. Juju.
At his words, he visibly softened. That was always sweet. Boju looked like he had just won a Bodybuilders on Steroids contest, and his love language was punching. But any time Meiyue was involved, he just turned into a big teddy bear. He was the one who initially defied the orders of Bo Doxing, the patriarch of the Bo family, and offered to help me cultivate and keep it a secret, just so I could protect his sister from harm.
So,
Boju frowned, looking over at me again.
I don't understand. Why are you able to do all those things? How are you able to train so fast and perfect these techniques that others spend years learning? Is it a Gold Clan thing?
Now, that I don't have an answer to. I admitted, sighing as I pushed my own messy mop of hair out of my face. It was shaggy when I arrived. It was about down to my shoulders now. I knew I'd need to let it grow in order to fit in with the people of Ryoshu, but I just couldn't jibe with the idea of wearing a top knot. It reminded me too much of a man bun.
What? So you're just some powerful mega cultivator?
He huffed, crossing his arms.
Aw, is the big guy jealous?
Daitan cooed teasingly, making Monomo giggle. Boju shot them a dark, almost threatening look.
I'm on Botor's side, but I still own you.
Daitan held her red hands up in the air, though she struggled to wipe the smile off her face.
Right, right. Sorry, Mr. Big Guy.
Sorry,
Monomo giggled.
Peter.
Meiyue tilted her head as she used my actual name. When I arrived in Ryoshu, the Bo family thought Peter was actually Pai Tuor. So when I married into their family, they changed my name to Bo Tuor.
Boju has a point. Do you know why you've been able to grasp these things so fast?
I suppose I never really had talked to them about it. They were just all impressed, but didn't ask many questions about how I was able to achieve such quick success. Unfortunately, I really have no idea. It just sort of happens.
Lucky bastard,
Boju mumbled, sitting back against the wall of the carriage. Daitan shot me a smirk, emphasizing her previous comment. I don't really care why it happens, as long as it keeps happening, I shrugged. I have more important things to worry about. It doesn't leave much time for futile questions.
Aren't you curious, Peter?
Minomo blinked. I guess so, I shook my head. But being curious doesn't answer questions. And when it came to questions, I had a lot of them, which was why I didn't bother wondering why I was so good at advanced techniques. I was far more concerned with figuring out why I was in Ryoshu, how to keep advancing in a society designed to keep me down, what that strange dream meant, and how to solve a millennia-old case of wrongful conviction.
Are we close to the Bow Mansion?
Mayue asked after we'd been riding for a few hours. She'd been getting progressively more anxious along the ride.
We should be, I nodded, standing up to crack open the door to the carriage and poke my head out.
And when I did, every muscle in my body clenched. Suddenly I felt so heavy I thought I might fall out as the carriage neared the mansion. Mayue could see my face change. Fear registered in her face as she stood and pulled me out of the way so she could look out the door herself. I made sure to grab hold of her to keep her from falling over or fainting. And, as I expected, she gasped sharply and her whole body began trembling, leaning against me for support.
What?
Minomo asked, suddenly concerned. Boju jumped up to look out the other door to see for himself before I could answer.
No,
he practically whispered, gripping the handle of the door so hard I thought it might come off in his hand.
What?
Daitan demanded.
What is it?
The mansion, I said dryly. It's...
Chapter 2 The Bow Mansion was a formidable structure. Everyone called it a mansion, but it was far more than that. It was a massive piece of land that had about a dozen buildings of varying sizes, all of them grand and ornamental, pristinely manicured gardens, a huge courtyard large enough for the entire Bow family to train at once, and it was all surrounded by thick stone walls. The buildings were decorated with life-size, or what I assumed to be life-size, carvings of dragons and ornate wooden carvings of a bear, the symbol for the Bow family crest. On any regular day, one look at the mansion would fill you with awe, perhaps even a bit of envy. But today there was nothing to envy. Entire chunks of the thick stone wall were completely gone. There were scars in the earth that showed whatever enemy had attacked had been insanely strong. Some of the smaller buildings were now nothing more than piles of smoking rubble. Others partially survived, mere skeletons of the structures remaining. The only building that looked unscathed from the outside was the main one at the back of the mansion, a three-story structure that contained the family meeting hall, along with Bo Dojing's personal quarters. Before the carriage even reached the mansion, Boju and Mayue had collected themselves and rushed to the gates on foot. Of course, I got out to follow them, so Daitan, Monomo, Hiroto, Naguin, Yo-Yo, and Ping got out to follow me. Inside the gates, it looked like a war zone. I should have suspected it looked worse from inside. Not to mention there was a sickening, acrid smell in the air. I could only imagine it was some mix of burnt buildings, crushed stone, blood, and whatever chemical concoction the Muwa elders who attacked had swallowed. There were Gold Clan servants in their orange robes, scurrying around the scene and trying to clean. At the risk of sounding like a complete asshole, I was incredibly grateful that was no longer my job. Then there were Bow family members and Gold Clan members,
trying to treat injuries. Everyone from younger Bo family members.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?